Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Pastor Steve, we've been talking about toxic relationships, and it's really impacted a lot of people.
Well, this whole subject of codependency is something that people need to realize that many times it really developed from the past. Because codependents operate through coping skills and behaviors they learned during childhood. And this was through role models, teaching, and just the culture in which they lived in. So many people deal with codependency today that this makes the subject we're talking about such a priority for us this week. Now, this recording was taken in an informal setting rather than a church service, so it sounds very personal. I hope you're listening, and I hope that you're being blessed.
This has been a very interesting series. Let's get into part three. Hello and welcome to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hearst, Texas, has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Okay, so the topic is avoiding toxic relationships. This is the third part of this teaching on relationships. Our focus has been the danger of establishing codependent relationships. Codependency is unhealthy love and a tendency to behave in overly passive or excessively caretaking ways that negatively impact one's relationship and their own quality of life. Codependence describes behaviors, thoughts, and feelings that go beyond the normal kinds of self-sacrificing or caretaking. It often involves placing a lower priority on one's own needs while being excessively preoccupied with the needs of others. Now, what makes people codependent? Codependents, they operate through coping skills and behaviors that they learn during childhood by role models, by teachings, and through the culture in which they lived. Now, many times it was a way of survival in a dysfunctional family structure. And please, when I say dysfunctional, I mean anything other than what the Bible says. That's dysfunctional. God created marriage to be the way He created it to be. And when it's not like that, regardless of how our world, our country, our society tries to establish and show what the family should be, Oh, no. God established the family. You can't put two people of the same sex together and think that's God's plan. That's not God's plan. God is not with our desires for family. He's already established what a family is supposed to be. God takes into account every situation. And you know what? Even when there are people lacking in a family, the Bible says he puts the solitary into families. God unites people together so that there can be benefit between them to create a family, the family of God as well. So it's important for us to understand that if we're all God's children, we're one family. The Bible talks about the whole family of heaven and earth. That family of God are all those who believe in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Jesus said it this way when his mother and his brothers and his sisters and relatives came to talk to him. He said, Who are my relatives? These people right here, the ones who do the will of my Father. This is my mother. This is my brother. These are my sisters. All of these people are my family members. So we need to understand that we have an extended family beyond the family that we deal with because of, we grew up with people and they were our siblings and our moms and our dads. God establishes families around the fact that we are His children. We are the children of God when we've been born again. So when we talk about families, we've got to look at it the way God sees the family. And when we try to survive sometimes outside of the family that God has established, then that's when survival tactics or coping skills begin, and you can begin to formulate different types of codependent behavior. And this is where a lot of it comes from. It starts when you are a child. Now, most of the spiritual warfare that we face every day is in the arena of relationships. And God commands us to love Him above every other relationship for our protection from improper relationships. Every relationship has the potential to influence us for evil or for good, especially our closest relationships. That's why Satan wants to take advantage of you through your relationships with those closest to you. He doesn't care if it's a family member. He doesn't care if it's your friend. He doesn't care if it's your boss or a coworker or even the members of your church. The devil is doing everything he can to get you to establish an improper relationship. And one of those types of relationships are codependency. Now, even Bible teachings about helping people and enduring suffering with patience are often taken out of context by so many in the church. It's important to properly interpret the Bible, not based upon forgiveness and mercy alone, but also through what God talks about in His Word, accountability, because we're all accountable. So knowing that God has a plan for every life, we need to be aware of misinterpreting the Bible relating to loving people and helping others, or we could encourage codependent behavior, even in the church. There was a man that was one of the members of a church. I was an associate pastor in Orlando. And one day a gentleman came up to me and said, "Pastor, may I talk to you?" I said, "Oh, sure." So he said, "You know, there was a family who lost their home. And as a result, I took them in." I said, "Well, you can come in until you get on your feet and I'll help you." Well, now it's been several months later, and now the kids have to go to school. Well, at the time when the man lost his job and they lost the house, the children were going to a private school. So the man not only supplied a home for them to live, food for them to eat, but now he's paying the private school tuition for two children. One day he came home and found the man that he took in of that family sitting with his feet up watching television. And he said, "What are you doing? You're supposed to be out working." But he didn't really say it with any, you know, strength in his voice. He just, you know, kind of, "Well, I thought you'd be out." But it drove him to come and talk to me. He said, "Pastor." And he started telling me all this. I said, "Well, how long have they been there?" He said, "Well, it's been about 4 months now." I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Did you establish any boundaries? Did you tell them how long they could stay?" He said, "No, I said, until you get on your feet." I said, did you tell him he has to go out every day and hit the bricks to find a job?" He said, "No, I just thought he would understand that." I said, "Well, you are enabling that person. You're establishing a codependent relationship with this man because he's not even taking care of his family. You're taking care of him and his family." He said, "Well, doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to help people?" I said, "Yes, temporarily. But you're setting up house here for a codependent long-term relationship. You have got to establish some boundaries. You've got to tell him there's a time he has to get out of the house. You need to tell him also that he needs to give you some money for staying in his house, watching his television and washing his clothes and just being there in general. You need to get some money from this man." He said, "Well, he doesn't have a job." Tell him to take any job. There are jobs out there. Just take any job. It doesn't have to be what your original occupation was. He needs a job. He needs money. Get it. So I was kind of forceful with him. You know, because the guy's already been being used and abused by this person, you know. And it really, you have to understand that codependency works this way. It's a co-relationship. So now I didn't do counseling with this man to find out what his background was like. There was no need to do that. I knew that as a young boy, he was one who was taking care of the siblings in the family. He was one that his parents could depend upon, and he was helping things to take place. He was one with a mercy foundational gift that if he saw somebody hurting, he reached out to them. See, you don't have to really know a person's background. You know what's in their background by their behavior. And codependency many times has to do with your childhood behavior, your circumstances. Some of you think right now in your own minds about how you grew up when you were a child. I was reading one of the case studies on codependency, and it bears mentioning now. There was a young woman. She was just a little girl. She had several siblings. She was the eldest. And her mother and father, they were together, but they did not get along very well. And what would happen is the father would come and talk to the little girl about the mother, and the mother would come and talk to the little girl about the father. All their faults and all of their ways, and she's like around 10 years old. And then she has younger siblings that she's taking care of. So now it gets worse, because now the father, because he's not getting along with the mother, he makes her like a wife to him and starts telling her all the things that men need. Well, men are like this because they need this and they need to be taken care of in this way and all of this. Now, he never did anything sexual with his daughter, but he filled her mind with all this stuff. So this little girl grows up. And she marries an alcoholic man who was unfaithful. But her daddy told her that he was going to be unfaithful, and that's what men need. And because her predisposition in that family, trying to survive and coping with all of the things that were happening, she was a codependent woman when she grew up. She was taking care of him. She was enabling him to be an alcoholic and to treat her. And she had such low self-esteem. Why? Because she just had to survive in that family any way she could. I don't know if you see yourself in this. But that's how codependency starts. It starts when you're a child. It starts with the things you have to go through just to survive in life. But guess what? That switch stays on when you become an adult. It doesn't switch off. You become that same little person all grown up with the same tendencies for survival and how you live.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Here's Pastor Steve with an invitation to this Sunday's very special service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Thanks for listening to the program today. I want to personally invite you to our Sunday worship service. It's a special service called Family and Friends. I'd like to meet you and shake your hand and pray for you personally. You know, your coming is the only way that I know that you're listening. I want to thank you for your prayers and your support of this ministry. God is touching lives and people are being blessed because of you.
Come join us this Sunday for a special day of worship and fellowship on our Family and Friends Day.
You'll make some new friends, enjoy some excellent live music with our praise and worship team, and Pastor Hill would like to meet you personally. That's this Sunday for our Family and Friends Day.
We look forward to seeing you there. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas.
You can find out more about the many ministries at Spirit Life Church and other upcoming special events by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
So codependents, what makes them codependent people? They operate through coping skills and behaviors that they learned during their childhood. That may be you. In some way, shape, and form, you may be behaving in ways you don't understand that really stem back to your childhood. You know, there's a principle found in the Word of God, and people don't necessarily take the Word of God as principles, but whatever God says is a principle. And there's one that we use in a positive way, and it is train up a child in the way that they should go, and then when they're old, they won't depart from it. But folks, that's a principle. A principle just works. for good or for bad. In other words, the negative to that principle is whatever a child sees when they are children, it comes back and plays in their mind when they get older again. So if you train them in the ways of the Lord, when they get old, they won't depart from that. But if you've trained them through all kinds of things that they should have never gone through, things that they experienced when they were children, when they get older, they will function in those things. We're talking about codependency. That's how it happens to many, many, many people. And remember, again, it's spiritual warfare. It's bad enough if we didn't have a devil, but we've got a devil too, who's going to do everything he can to destroy you through the relationships in your life. Now, many people, when they talk about codependency, they talk about addictions. In fact, the very term of codependency came out of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what they found out was when people were going through their 12-step program and everything, and they were starting to counsel these men and women, was that it wasn't just their problem, but it was the problem of somebody who was a caretaker. Somebody who allowed them to stay in that condition. Because many times when they couldn't work, they gave them money out of their pocket. Many times when they were drunk, they call the office for the person. That's enabling a person. That's a codependent situation. Are you guys following me? Do you see how subtle this is? You think you're doing a good thing? You're enabling people. And you're entering into a codependent relationship where now they are depending upon you to fix things for them. Now, let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says that it is the responsibility of every person to be responsible for their own living and to sustain themselves. That's what the Bible says. Let me give you some scriptures. Galatians 6 and 5, it says, "For each one shall bear his own burden." Another translation is, "Each of you must take responsibility for doing the best that you can with your own life." That's pretty clear. Do the best you can. If you can't afford to live at a certain level, then live at the level you can afford. Do the best you can. Don't live at a level that's higher than what you can afford and ask other people to supplement that for you. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11. This is a commandment to God's people. It says, "Take care of your own business and do your own work, as we have already told you." See, God's people are working people. God's people are responsible people. God's people are people who are self-sufficient in taking care of themselves, and God wants everybody to be that way. Because God does not want people relying on you and taking his place in their lives. Verse 12 goes on to say, "If you do, then people who are not believers will respect you, and you will not have to depend on others for what you need." See, God promises to take care of his children, and he will if we put forth the effort to work hard and do whatever we have to do to support ourselves. God will help us. And yes, at times we need temporary help. God will send somebody to help you temporarily. But remember, that is a temporary blessing. That's a temporary gift. You thank God. Everything you receive, you thank God for it. You thank the person for the ride home. You thank the person for to live at their house for a week. You thank the person for the love gift. You thank the person, but you're really thanking God, you see. And you never look at the person as being your source, or you will begin to establish a codependent relationship. Now, what I want to do quickly is I want to look again at some of the patterns of codependency so we can begin to see ourselves and we can begin to see others. Because this message, this whole teaching is very, very eye-opening, because codependence is so subtle that we don't even realize that we have the traits, or we're establishing one of those types of relationships. So let's talk about some of the patterns or characteristics. They have difficulty identifying what they are feeling. See, the reason why many codependents have, you ask them, so what do you feel? What's really going on with you? Well, I really don't know. Many times it's because they've put their life on hold and they've been paying attention to everybody else's feelings. They're more concerned about what others feel, not what they feel. They minimize and deny how they're truly feeling because sometimes they're seeking the approval of other people. They don't want to face rejection. So I'm not going to tell you how I really feel if I know you're going to reject me. I mean, you ask me, how do you feel? And I'm like, good. Well, you can't feel good about this. Well, you know what? I've learned in life to keep your mouth shut. You know, you've heard people say that, you know, that it really doesn't matter. It's not going to change anyway. See, there are denial patterns that come from codependence, like masking pain in various ways, such as anger and through humor and isolation. You know, you ever hear people who are really, something really bad happens to them or something embarrassing and they just start laughing? They're masking embarrassment. See, sometimes when things happen, people get very, very angry. Well, that's masking something, perhaps. Perhaps a way of not having to say I'm sorry. Some people express negativity or aggression in indirect and passive ways by just saying, well, I don't want to talk about it. I just don't have anything to say. Well, you were taught when you were young in your family that you just didn't say anything. You just put up with it. You just survived through it. So does anybody really care what I really feel and what I really think? See, all of these are denial patterns that people have in their patterns of codependency. Many have low self-esteem. Many people have low self-esteem. They judge what they say or do not say because they don't ever feel that they're good enough. My opinion is not good enough. I don't want to be rejected. They're even embarrassed to receive praise or gifts from people. They value other people's opinion and their feelings over their own because they're looking for approval. Our need for love, approval, and affirmation must come from God. It can't come from people. You can't look for your self-image in a person. You've got to see it from God. God created you. God has a plan for your life.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Today's message is from a series called Toxic Relationships. It explores codependency. This is part 3. Now Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
I want to pray this prayer with you today because some of us are still being affected by emotional pain, by traumatic experiences of our past, by some of the tragedies that perhaps no one else knows about. I want to let you know that you can be free in the name of Jesus because God loves you so much. And I'm asking you to repeat this prayer after me in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority given to me to bind and to loose. I loose my emotions from every evil deed that has come as a result of experiences of the past. I loose myself from all hurt, pain, sadness, anger, bitterness, and fear. And I command these spirits to come out and leave me now. I declare freedom to my emotions by the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. I want you to believe that prayer and know that God has heard you.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.